Romans chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. These are God's words. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Well, we've been learning that a man is made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ, and particularly that this faith is not a work, that not only is it something for which we cannot boast before God, because God is the one who gives it, but that the way that faith operates is that the believer is accounted as righteous, accounted by grace, calculated by God to be righteous by grace, rather than rewarded as an obligation of a debt or a wage. Faith is not something that God accepts as valuable in and of itself, but faith finds that Christ alone is valuable and hopes only in what Jesus has done, so that if faith were itself valuable, it would no longer be faith, because it would be trusting in itself instead of trusting in Jesus. And now, it makes this point, the apostle again makes this point in verse 5, by referring to the two parties involved. The believer, he calls, the one who does not work. In other words, there is no faith plus works, because the believer who is made righteous, or counted righteous, calculated righteous, imputed to be righteous, that believer is one who refuses to work for his righteousness. He works because God has counted him righteous. He works because he belongs to God. He works because God is worthy of those works, but he refuses to work for his standing. Because God justifies the ungodly. So the man is called him who does not work. That's his title. Almost sounds like something for a cartoon. What is your title? Well, I am him who does not work. Or I am he, predicate nominative there. But that's what the believer is. A believer in Christ is someone who does not work for his justification, refuses to work for his justification. And who is God? God is the one who justifies whom? The ungodly. This, of course, drove the papists nuts in the 16th century. How can you say that God justifies the ungodly? Well, God said that he justifies the ungodly. Those are the ones whom he justifies. If you think that you are going to get yourself more savable, get yourself ready to be a Christian, or any other such nonsense, you're in trouble, because God doesn't justify the ready. God doesn't justify the improved. God justifies the ungodly. And so, by identifying the man, him who does not work, and the Lord, him who justifies the ungodly, he shows us that justification by faith is justification by faith alone. And he concludes this, secures this, affirms this, by using that accounted word again. Accounted, or reckoned, or calculated, or imputed. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. When you realize that your sin deserves hell, you need to remember that God justifies the ungodly. God justifies the one who does not work. Resist the impulse to think, oh, I can make it up to God, or I'm going to make it up to God. You can't, and you won't. The only way of being made right with God is through faith in Jesus Christ, which says God justifies the ungodly through through faith. He accounts us as righteousness for Jesus' sake. That's the only way to be right with God. Everything else must fail. Now, he goes on to show that this has always been the way it was. It's not like men could be made right with God or justified through works in the past, and now that Jesus has come, it's not possible. No, it's always been that way. That the only way a sinner could ever be made right with God is through the imputation of Christ's righteousness, the being counted as righteousness, not for what we have done, but only for what Jesus has done. And so he's already used Abraham as an example, and he's going to return to Abraham as an example in next week's portion, but now he takes David as an example. David, the scripture calls, a man after God's own heart. But whom else do we know David to be? We know David to be the one who committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband to try to cover it up. How could he be a blessed man? How could he be a man after God's own heart? Well, part of the answer is that the man after God's own heart is Jesus. But another part of the answer is that David was justified, made righteous with God in the same way that we are. In fact, David teaches this same doctrine of justification by faith. Verse 6 says, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes, and it's that same word that is translated accounted in verse 5, imputes righteousness apart from works. And so the blessedness of the man in Psalm 32 is great. He quotes here from verses 1 and 2 of the psalm, but if we were to go through the rest of the psalm, we'd see that this man is saved by God in verses 6 and 7, that he's gladdened by God in the end of verse 7, that he is led and instructed by God in verse 8 of Psalm 32, that he is surrounded by the steadfast love, the covenanted love of God in verse 10 of Psalm 32. That he is filled with gladness by God in verse 11 of Psalm 32. How do you come into the state of a blessedness in which you're saved by God, gladdened by God, led by God, surrounded by God's love, and filled with God's gladness? And the answer is justification through faith alone, being counted righteous apart from works. So he quotes now in verses 7 and 8 from the first two verses of that psalm to show us that David describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes, calculates, righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. So what does the believer contribute to his blessed state of being right with God and blessed by God under the favor and blessing of God, the smile of God, verse 7 and 8? What does the believer contribute? Lawless deeds, 7a. Sins, 7b. Sin, verse 8. Or if we were to go back to Psalm 32 itself, we'd see that our English translation has those three words as transgression, sin, and iniquity. What do you and I contribute to our salvation? We contribute what we need to be saved from. You don't contribute meaning well, having better intentions, going to do better this time, turning our heart to Him, making a choice, any of that. We don't contribute anything to our salvation except the sin from which we needed to be saved. There is a way of thinking that says God's grace produces much, but then we supply the faith or the choice at the end. That's nonsense. God justifies, it is to him who does not work that God justifies. God justifies the ungodly. There's even a way of thinking that says God supplies the faith, but then he receives the faith as being good enough. No, the reason he supplies the faith for our justification is because only Christ is good. Not because faith is good enough. Faith says, Nothing in me or from me is good enough. Only Christ and what he has done has any good in it. So what Paul and David both say by the Spirit is that we do supply to our salvation. We supply the sin from which we needed to be saved. And that is the only thing that we supply. So if our contribution are lawless deeds, sins, and sin, what is God's contribution? 7a, forgiving us. 7b, covering our sin. And 8, imputing, reckoning, accounting us as righteous. The Lord then supplies all of the righteousness by his mercy, by his decree, and in Christ, by his atonement, by his obedience. All that gets counted for us is counted for us from Jesus. It isn't invented, it isn't pretended. It's real. And it's accounted as ours through faith in Jesus Christ. So the only thing you supply to your salvation is your sin. Therefore, you mustn't hope in your faith or in anything else, but only in Jesus himself and what he has done. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have made us righteous with your own righteousness in Jesus, that you made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that we might be your righteousness in him. Forgive us for thinking that we could earn our own standing with you or maintain our own standing with you by anything that we do. We thank you that you are the one who does it. Help us to see the hatefulness of the sin from which you have saved us, recognizing that this is what we have contributed and that anything that we provide apart from Christ would only be sin. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.